First impressions are an important thing. First time you talk to someone, the first time you enter a building. Seeing that, feeling that, all those emotions that end up coming out of your senses, telling you this and that about everywhere that you are, can kind of make or break a place sometimes. Sometimes it's great, it's wonderful. The next, it's, you know, maybe this place, the next one you go into, not quite as welcoming. Why? Can't really find a difference sometimes. Maybe it's not always the aesthetics of a building. Maybe it's more the energy of it. On today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, we hear about several locations. One, 100-year-old, some 100-some-year-old. How do you say it? 100-year-old something? 100-some-year-old? There, that's the way to do it. A 100-some-year-old, yeah, mansion is restored to its past beauty. Love it when you see those sort of things going on. But in doing so, you know, there's a bit of construction involved. Does it make the hip spirits in this case happy or sad? And then one woman's intuition is so real, she can actually have conversations with it. It helps guide her very, very clearly, including some conversations that even saved her life. We got those stories for you and more today on EPP bonus episode number 409 of Real Ghost Stories Online. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. Childhood homes, when you look back on them, and especially if you haven't been in them in a long period of time, they always seem so much bigger. And then if you go back and visit it as an adult, it's like, oh my gosh, it used to be like a castle. Now, take the average house that many of us grew up in and then multiply it by like 10. That's the size of the house in this next story. It's one of those giant old regal type mansions that a lot of towns had. It was like the richest people's homes of the era. And then eventually they would get divided up into little apartment units and such. And a lot of the aesthetics and everything were gone. But this is one of those houses. It's been undivided from the apartments and now turned back into one giant house, trying to restore its original looks and original beauty. You think that might be a recipe for stirring something up? Maybe good, maybe bad. I don't know. Could be a little bit of both. Oh, yeah, it is. That's what happens in our next story. Take a listen. So, I was browsing podcasts on my iPod, which I've had for years, and never really had any interest in finding podcasts. But for some reason, I decided to search for some podcasts to listen to while at work on my long 12-hour overnight shifts. Came across some other paranormal-themed podcasts, listened to a couple episodes of a few of them, and then I found you. That was less than a week ago now. Currently, I'm in EPP yearly, and I've been binge listening. I started with the most recent episodes, but then decided to go back and start from the beginning. So I've been listening to the 2014 episodes, and I'll work my way up to the present while also listening to new episodes as they're posted. I'm in love with your podcast. I have found you on Facebook and YouTube, saw the video this morning of the cemetery you speak of often. Ryanzi, I believe. But I wanted to mention that the video of just the cemetery and the video of you and Harper walking through asking questions of any spirits around reminds me so much of a cemetery here in central New York. It's called Fort Hill Cemetery, and it's absolutely gorgeous. One of my favorite places to be. I've always loved cemeteries for some weird reason. Haven't experienced anything there yet, but it looks so similar to one in your videos. I'm sure you'd love it at Fort Hill, too. It's also rumored to be quite haunted. Anyways, on to my ghost story. I have quite a few. I'll start with this one. The very first ever experience I had was when I was maybe 5 or 6. This is even more awesome now because I've heard a couple stories on your podcast of people who have seen something very, very similar to what I had seen. So it kind of validates the whole thing, you know? So there I was, 5 or 6 year old, laying in my bed in the middle of the night. I'd woken up to some weird noise. Not sure what exactly the noise was or what had caused it. But as I sat up and looked around, I saw those eyes. Big, impossibly big, red-orange glowing eyes. I'm talking about baseball-sized eyes staring in through my bedroom window. The eyes didn't move, didn't blink, didn't waver, or wiggle or shift in any way. So I tried the whole pull the blankets over my head. Stayed like that for a minute, peeked out. The eyes were still there. I squeezed my eyes closed, saying, "It's not real, it's not real," over and over. Opened my eyes, they were still there. So mustering all my little kid courage, I called out, "Go away!" Still, they stayed. "I'm not scared of you," I said, rather matter-of-factly. I laid down, turning my back to the window, and pretending to sleep. After a few minutes, I turned back, and still, they were there. So being a defiant little shit with a big attitude, I stuck my tongue out at the eyes and said, "You're so dumb, I'm not even scared." Then I turned over and laid there until I fell back asleep. When I got up in the morning and was telling my mother and my aunt who was visiting about what I had seen, my aunt said, "Well, maybe it was an owl." "Mommy, no. Even that young, I knew those eyes were entirely too big to belong to an owl or a cat or possum or any other nighttime creature." The three of us had gone outside to look around outside my window. There were no footprints, human or otherwise, and we noticed that the window was about a foot and a half above my mother's head. So it would have been about 6 feet off the ground. I haven't seen those eyes since and have no idea what it could have been. The second story I wanted to share happened about 7 years ago. My oldest son was just over a year old. We lived in a very old house in central New York area. I got some pictures I could send just for reference and info. I don't know anything about the history of the house or anything else over the years. But as you can see, hopefully, if the picture goes through correctly, this house is absolutely enormous. At some point over time, the house was split into about 6 or 8 individual apartments. Each had either 1 or 2 bedrooms. At first, I heard some normal old house noises like creaks and knocks and bumps and plumbing and pipe noises. The whole building, only 3 apartments were occupied for the first few months that we lived there. Ours, 1 behind us and 1 on the opposite side of the house. I started hearing a little girl humming to the tune of "Ring Around the Rosie," children's rhyme. I figured it was probably whoever lived behind us, but then I started hearing what sounded like a kid running up and down the stairs that led to my son's bedroom, which was the only room on the second floor of our apartment. After a bit of being there, a woman and little girl behind us moved out. I took notice that the little girl that lived, though, was too old to have been the little girl I heard humming. The girl I heard sounded as if she was maybe 6 or 7 years old. The neighbor was much older. After then, we were gone. I was still hearing the girl, sometimes humming, sometimes singing, always the same song. And I started to notice strange things with my own son. One instance that really sticks out was when we were in the living room on the main floor. My son was sitting on the floor playing with cars and blocks. I'm sitting, half watching a movie, while also playing every so often with my son. Suddenly, his arm shot up in the air. Not straight up, but almost like someone was holding his hand as he played. He stayed like that for a minute. I talked to him, asking what he was doing, and he just looked at me and smiled and went back to playing, still with his arm in the air. I moved closer and closer, and as I moved, I started hearing that little girl's voice singing the "Ring Around the Rosie" song very slowly. Slowly in a way to make it sound super creepy. The voice was clear, and the way that I could understand the words perfectly, but it sounded faded and hollow, kind of like if you were singing in a large, empty space. I went down a mental checklist of all my son's toys that made noise, but he had none that sang that song. I stood up, walked towards the staircase. The further I got from my son, the quieter the song got. When I got closer to him, the song was louder. The song seemed to be surrounding him. This freaked me out and went to pick him up. His arm was still extended. And though I picked him up off the floor, his arm stayed where it was, just as if someone really was holding his hand. And that's where we're going to pause the preview portion of this week's EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. To hear the rest of this story and then our next one, which is really intriguing as well, a woman's intuition so real, it's almost like an imaginary friend, but it's not childhood. It's there. Conversations are had. Conversations that saved her life. That and all of our EPP bonus episodes, if you wanted to get access to all of that, 409 of them thus far, plus our archive of regular episodes, all of it commercial free, and you get new ones on the feed as well, so you can sit there and always get the latest before everybody else in advance with no ads. If you like the show, please do consider signing up, patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. We greatly appreciate that support. That's what helps keep us on the air. Until next time, for all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.